This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Not very many times in my life do I feel like I have to prove that I was kind of right. Here's a minute and 10 seconds of last night's game. Sorry, minute and 14 seconds of exactly what we just described.
Tonight, the Royals are in the home white jerseys, white tops and bottoms, thick royal blue stripe down the side of each leg, Royals in royal blue script and an angle across the chest with royal blue numbers on the lower left side of the jersey and on the back, and the nameplate across the backs of the shoulders also in capital blue letters. For Bubic, he wears number 50, and he wears the royal blue cap with the interlocking white KC logo on the front panel and the white button on top. Meanwhile, for the Colorado Rockies, it's their purple jerseys with Colorado in black block letters, outlined in white in an arc across the chest.
I nailed
Same
this.
Goes for the numbers on the lower left side of the jersey and on the back. Black numbers outlined
in white. Does this happen in every game?
John Bouchard is prepared to lead off, wears number 12. And then the Rockies have the gray pants on tonight with a thin purple stripe down the side of each leg. We couldn't have better weather for baseball this evening at Kauffman Stadium. 77 degrees,
Wow. Bright
blue skies, barely a cloud in sight. The stadium lights are on, but we certainly don't need them quite yet. The flags are at half staff, and they are flowing out to left field tonight. It is a strong breeze out to left.
Why are they at half staff?
Baseball, and now for the play-by-play, here's the Hall of Fame voice of the Royals, Denny Matthews.
All right, Jake. Hi, everybody. And Sean Bouchard leads off for
Colorado. Just disregards it all. Definitely, it just goes it off. I mean, that's every game. I was so impressed. I'm like, because the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's cool. Descriptive. They're on the road.
Like, well, you're, like you don't the know home were, stand. You're
you don't
the first
know
game.
Powder blue. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, like, driving home from the golf course. I'm like, oh. Or, I mean, I'm on the, you know, 13th or 14th fairway. And just like.
And the socks are at 33 inches above the knee with a stripe down the side, and their shoes are tied with a double butterfly knot.
Mm. Yep. I mean,
every game you said?
Every game. Okay. Yep. So I believe, tonight, 6:40 start again. Josh Ringer's pregame show at 5 o'clock. Vern's on deck show at 5 p.m. here on 96.5 The Fan. And then Royals broadcast starts at 5:30. So you're looking around. Let's see here. No, it'll start. Yeah, it'll start at 6. So Vern at 5:30.
Yeah.
Sorry. Vern at 5:30 on deck show. 6 Royals broadcast. So 6:38
radio. Okay. Yeah. All right. We got soccer tonight. So maybe
earbuds.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
So I just want to bring up real quickly, then we'll get into our draft of the day. So these are picks.
What's Mac wearing?
What, tonight?
Right now.
He's wearing a 100% cotton top with from H&M with a with jeans below from American Eagle, stitched down the seam in a copper thread, wearing a nice brown shoe that he got off of Amazon at the price of $39.95, which you need to get that deal now. It's ended on Sunday. Bob, on the other hand, wearing a See You in the Major Leagues hoodie with the white strings from the hoodie with his Odyssey badge dangling below his neck at a crooked angle. I'm kidding. Also wearing shorts, going with the hoodie short combination. As for his co-host Dusty Liggins, he also wears a hoodie that says October Ready that he got in November for $100.
Half price though, right?
No,
paid full price.
He's wearing He's wearing gray shorts with a cashmere inside. No underwear on the lad today.
Oh, you're wearing those
mid-high Nike socks with Air Force Ones, and he's wearing an interlocked Have a Day from Bob Does Sports hat with a string on it.
Do you have a what are they called? Yes. The shorts that I'm wearing right now?
Oh, the liners?
Yeah, Yardbirds. No. What are they called?
Bird Dogs.
Bird Dogs. Yeah. Think of the name.
Yardbird.
Yeah. Yardbird, Firebird, Bird Dog, Lakers in 5.
Exactly. Shannon, what?
Easy.
How about that draft?
Yeah. So in the past, 31st overall picks. These, I don't want to go through a lot, but these are some like notable names. Ricky Pearsall went 31st last year. Could be a big addition to that team.
That would be, I would love to see what he could have done had the incident of him not getting shot happened, you know, because he did have a nice little end once he got back from that, which is unbelievable. Once he got back from that, he had a nice little season for himself out there.
Right. And then the year before that, Felix Ndoukay Uzomah, that was in 2023. Mm-hmm. He was the 31st overall pick. Dak Hill for the Saints. Again, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying. I'm not even.
I think it's Dax Hill.
Dax Hill. Okay. Yeah. Odiafe Owen. Oha. I don't know. That's who the
Ravens. Odiafe Owe.
Okay.
For the Ravens,
Odiafe
right?
Odiafe Owe. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Oh, Odiafe Owe. Yeah. Oh, yes. That's
pass
right. Of the Mission Hills Owes. Yeah.
You go down the list. I don't need to name all the names, but in 2018, Sony Michel was picked.
He was supposed to be really good.
Right.
Yeah, he's supposed to be
the year before that, Reuben Foster.
Love
was
his
picked.
Sandwich and his banana dish.
Bradley Roby was in 2014. He ended up being a pretty solid pick at 31. Cam Hayward in 2011. He was a 31st
pick. That's a nice
pick.
That's a great pick.
No doubt.
Jerry Hughes at 31.
Yeah, former AD at UCM. RIP to Jerry Hughes. But Greg Olsen in 2007 was a 31st pick.
Mm-hmm.
You go down the list a little bit. Todd Heap, the great tight end for the Baltimore Ravens in 2001, was mm-hmm. a 31st overall pick. Trunk candidate.
Well, God, I remember when the Rams drafted him, man.
Supposed to be fast.
Supposed to replace Marshall Faulk, and they're going to have a 1-2 punch for a while.
Who was it?
Trunk candidate. They drafted him after the greatest show on turf, Super Bowl in 99, that 2000 draft. Trunk candidate did nothing in the NFL.
No
doubt. Most of these guys did nothing in the NFL.
Right. And that's where the Chiefs are going to pick for now. I don't know if they move up or down. I still don't know the terminology, how I use it right. If you move down, and does that mean you're moving out?
You're moving up. You're going up. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I will say that I'm not looking for like a franchise changing player at 31. I don't think this team needs that, but that just kind of shows you throughout history. I don't know, in the last 15 years, maybe four guys are going to be somewhat studs, mm-hmm. possibly. So low percentage wise, but again, that's where I'm trying to put expectations at 31. If they stay there.
It's a guy, right? I mean, we hear all the time there's, 15 dudes with first-round grades on them in the NFL, right? You're picking 31. I'd say you're not going to get a first-round graded guy unless somebody you do have graded continues to fall down the board and you're able to jump up and get that guy in the 20s, a la Trent McDuffie that we saw, you know, last year or 2 years ago when the Chiefs were able to go and get Trent McDuffie. And so there are exceptions to every rule. But if you get a guy at number 31 that becomes a solid player for you that you can count on, that's a good pick, man. You have to look at pick 31 as basically a second round pick, a third round pick. What would you expect out of second and third round picks? Not much, because you're not watching. You know, you're watching on Thursday. Everybody expects a game changer to be drafted in the first round. Yeah, that's just not the logical way to approach it. If you're picking 31, 32, where the Chiefs are seemingly every year now, and you get a guy that's just a rotational guy in your defensive line, or maybe you get a guy that ends up being a starter on your offense, or maybe you end up getting a linebacker that becomes a playmaker type guy for you that you can rely on, that's a good pick at number 31. I think going in there and trying to get a game changer that late in the first round, it's probably not going to happen. There's just not enough game changers out there on paper today. Now, somebody may turn into a game changer, like Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, guys in the third round, the fifth round, sixth round pick, and Trey Smith. Guys have the opportunity to get better and outplay their draft status. But I think going into the draft on Thursday, expecting a game changer at 31, probably not going to happen, but it may end up being a game changer at number 31 in the next couple of years when we look back and go, damn, that was a hell of a steal at 31, you know?
You guys got your picks ready for our Wednesday draft. Thursday that is coming up at the Landing on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Let's get into our Chiefs wish they would have draft. So this, to give you some sort of insight on what we're doing here, is guys that the Chiefs drafted that just didn't pan out, but man, you really wanted them to because you, for some reason, had a connection. Bob, you've been first all week. I don't see why we buck the trend. Continue to go, my man.
Ryan Sims.
Oh, man.
Number one on my list
North Carolina.
Ryan Sims. First draft pick for me covering the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, man.
Number six overall, number one in your hearts. And that's when I realized in 2001, I don't want to use the term nepotism, but the head coach at North Carolina was one of Dick Vermeil's old players. His name was John Bunting. Coach with him at the time, recommended Ryan Sims. They drafted Ryan Sims. And Ryan Sims never really amounted to a whole heck of a lot here in Kansas City as the number six overall pick. And so that was a guy that I really thought was going to be good. I mean, you're being drafted number six overall. Let's go. So Ryan Sims is number one for me.
I'll go a little more recent. Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be one for me that I had a big connection with, and I thought he was going to be a massive get for this Chiefs offense. A running back who could catch passes out of the backfield. Shifty. We've seen Andy Reid excel with these sorts of players time and time again. Just didn't work out. There are multiple reasons, non-football related and football related, for that. But either way, didn't work out.
I'm going to go with mine, which is the first draft that I ever was like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's get into it, right? I'm a diehard sports fan. Jonathan Baldwin, man.
Oh, Baldwin, huh?
God, dog, man. First pick, 26th overall out of Pittsburgh. I thought he was about to be Larry Fitzgerald, man. Like,
so there was a red flag immediately on that one. Yeah. Josh and I had the announcer of Pittsburgh on the day after he was drafted.
Yeah.
And we're like, tell us why, you know, why he was drafted here. He goes, I have no idea why they drafted that guy. We're like,
oh, no.
This is the voice of the Pittsburgh Panthers or whatever they're called there coming on the air and going, yeah, I'm not sure why they picked him that high.
Damn, man.
Now we know.
And then I do the serpentine draft. My next pick after Jonathan Baldwin will always be and forever a dear, great draft of mine that didn't pan out. Mr. Glenn Dorsey of LSU.
Yes.
I thought he was going to be Warren Sapp, man. I really did. He was quick. He was big. He was mean. He was LSU. He was nothing in Kansas City.
And Dorsey goes down as one of those picks by Scott Pioli where arrogance trumped the player. They were running whatever defensive system it was here, say it was a 3-4 or whatever, and they drafted this guy who never played that position before, and we're going to convert him in the NFL. That's arrogance right there. Draft a guy who fits what you're doing.
Yep. Okay, yeah, me, you're right. Okay,
yep, you, Dr. McEnstein.
I'm going to go with
H&M. You can still fit into those clothes, man. Like, a large at H&M is like a small everywhere else. It makes you feel really, really awful about yourself. Express.
It makes me feel really great because I get, like, trendy clothes for, like, $58.
Yeah, but you're buying, like, 4X and you're supposed to be a large.
No, I'm buying large or extra large from H&M.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm getting my normal medium.
Yeah.
Tino Passanio. Be mine. He was 6'7". He had an 8-pack. This dude was 295 pounds.
Smash.
I mean, dude, it was. I just thought he was fast. Me and my brother would just be like, dude, this guy's gonna be amazing. Yeah. I don't think he really ever played.
Yeah, he never did. Another guy who never really played for us. Rest in peace, Eddie Freeman. Drafted at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. First training camp. Took his helmet off and started bashing players over the head with it. I'm like, this guy's going to be a good football player. And that's when Dick Vermeil dropped his first F-bomb at me at Family Fun Night with fireworks going off in the background. So Eddie Freeman. And I'll wrap it up with J.J. Moses, man. Okay. I love that kid. I thought he was going to be good. In fact, I said he should be the guy over Dante Hall.
Wow.
Swing and a miss at that one.
It happens to the best of us. Cyrus Gray, running back.
Is that your guy? Is that who you're taking?
Cyrus Gray.
I like that one.
Cyrus the Virus?
Cy Gray, man.
Yeah, I was Texas A&M fan. Loved Cyrus Gray at A&M. Thought he was going to be great. Again, never really played.
Yeah. Gosh, there he is. Eddie Freeman. Yep. You took two guys in that draft, in your opinion. Ryan Sims, Eddie Freeman
was
went
Eddie
one
Freeman
in
that same draft. Same draft?
Yeah,
I thought Eddie Freeman was the following
and then
year.
And then maybe the greatest Chiefs name in the history of Chiefs, Omar Easy.
Fourth round, dude. Yeah.
And then Scott Vegeta.
Yep. Scott Vegeta ended up being a really good player in the NFL.
No doubt.
Played for a number of different teams, but he was a really, really good player.
Yeah, dude. And then my last one, this guy pissed me off when I played with the Chiefs on Madden. I mean, pissed me off. Got torched. William Barty. I thought he was going to be lockdown corner. going to help that defense.
Revis Island.
And then it was like every time you played Madden and somebody knew that you were the Chiefs, they were just like, okay, where's Bartee lined up? Man, this is real life.
Yeah, but you go and you look at the defensive line that they had in that era, starting with Ryan Sims and Eddie Freeman, and you
they
know,
drafted this dog with a 54th overall pick.
Yeah, but he had no chance. No. Nobody could get to the quarterback. Yeah. They had all day to sit back there. Didn't matter who was playing defensive back. They never had anybody that could get to the quarterback. That those years, man, that 01 to 05 era of the Vermeil era. I mean, there's so much regret from that era of just totally ignoring the defensive side of the football, basically, until it was too late. And you bring back Gunther, and what's that going to do? But one of the greatest things I've ever learned, I did learn from Gunther Cunningham. We were standing in the old lobby of the Chiefs facility back in the day when their offices were in the stadium. And we're just standing there. It was back in the day where you could just walk into offices, do whatever the hell you want. Nobody cared. And Gunther, he looks at me, he goes, you know what our problem is? I'm like, there's a lot of issues. He goes, we don't have enough day one players on defense. And I'm like, what do you mean day one players? He goes, well, first, second, and third rounds. You've got to have first, second, and third round guys on your team making big plays and making big contributions. He says, if you don't have the day one players, back then, day one of the draft was the first three or four rounds, whatever the hell it was. And so I've always kind of lived by that motto. Thursday and Friday are the days you got to make your hay, right? You got to get some of those star players to be star players. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have been able to do that, obviously, recently, and have done great in the later rounds. But back in those days, man, you didn't have a lot of first and second round draft picks out there on the field, and you were trying to fill in the holes with like old veteran guys and you know, has-beens and never will-bes. And they really let that defensive side of the football go. It's really a shame to think about what could have been in that era had they just had some guys that could play defense back in the day.
Boy, that 08 draft is tough to look at.
The Chiefs 08 draft? Mm-hmm.
Glenn Dorsey, Brandon Albert, Brandon Flowers, Jamal Charles, Brad Cottom, DeJean Morgan, Will Franklin, Brandon Carr, Barry Richardson, Kevin Robinson, Brian Johnson, Mike Merritt.
There's a lot of guys that started on that team. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, your first two picks. I mean,
Brandon Albert was your starting left tackle. I'll take him today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Brandon Albert was good.
Yeah.
Jamal's probably your greatest running back in franchise history.
Yeah, third round pick. Those were the two guys that I believe they got from the trade of Jared Allen to Minnesota.
Okay,
they
that
got back
right.
Those picks, and I think they took Brandon Albert and Jamal Charles. Good that trade. Was a hell of a draft. That's a lot of those trade. Guys were on the team when Andy Reid took over, too. That was a good draft.
Yeah. It's just tough to see those guys are like legends in the Chiefs, some of those guys. And then, of course, Brandon Flowers has the greatest photo ever taken for a Chiefs.
Oh,
board.
My God. Brandon Flowers had a hell of a career here, too.
And then Brandon Carr, a hell of a steal in that draft.
Yep. Seventh round?
No, fifth.
Fifth round.
Jared Allen was a fourth round pick.
Another good one. He was drafted as a long snapper to try to replace Kendall Gammon. And Kendall was the best that ever lived at that long snapping position. Yeah. Jared Allen couldn't replace him. And so they're like, well, I don't know, rush the quarterback.
Yeah, try that.
All right,
Mac. Hall of Famer.
Let's get into one word.
One word. One word on the Chiefs draft Thursday. Tomorrow's portion of the Chiefs draft.
Reload.
Boring.
Okay, one word on the Chiefs portion of the draft Friday, rounds 2 and 3.
Exciting.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, even more reloading. Yeah.
I think Friday's the draft. Yeah. I mean, Friday you have, what, the 2/3 and the second for now?
Yeah, for now.
Because you don't even have to watch the draft as a Chiefs fan Saturday. I don't know why you would. 0 picks in the 4th, 0 picks in the 5th, 0 picks in the 6th, and then 3 in the 7th.
Well, they'll find their way back into the 6th, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. In 2027.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Friday is the night. Like Friday, obviously you can really get after it. If you want to tie one off, you can. But that's where I think the shaping happens is Friday night.
Yeah, I agree. One word on people saying that tight end is a need for Kansas City.
I think that's false.
Mm.
False is your word. Okay,
I agree.
Let's discuss.
I mean, we don't know anything about Jared Wiley. Noah Gray is good. I don't know if he is a full season starter. And then what?
But why do you need a tight end, though? Because we have Travis Kelce? I mean, like...
So you have that mentality. What do we always go back to with Patrick Mahomes? He learned under a year of Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
If you're drafting a guy this year to be the replacement in a couple of years...
But you've already got two of those guys on the roster, one of which you paid.
Yeah, but not a ton. You paid him like a 2-year extension with a little bit of change, which was expensive for a backup. But, I mean, that's for, like, after that transition is over with Travis Kelce. And we don't know anything about Jared Wiley yet. He got hurt last year. We'll see what that happens. And I think that if you draft a tight end in, like, you know, the 4th round, if there's one available, or in the 3rd round with that 2nd pick in the 3rd, then you have, you know, not a lot of capital for a lot of gain that could possibly be there. It's low risk for high reward, in my opinion. And you learn under Travis Kelce.
I will go kicking and screaming into that dark night if they take a tight end. I don't think it's a need. You've addressed this need. And I think it kind of goes back to the left tackle as well. Because it's not a household name, we don't think there's a guy out there that can be replacing of Travis Kelce. And again, trying to find a replacement for Travis Kelce is dumb. You're not going to replace Travis Kelce. You're going to be different when Travis Kelce moves on. That's why I think you go more of the wide receiver route. Start getting a little bit younger there. You know, continue to draft speed at the wide receiver position. So when Travis Kelce does ride off into the sunset, right, you now have, okay, this is how we're going to open up the offense. Yeah, we have Wiley here and we have this other guy here. But what we're going to do is we're going to open up the offense and we're going to get back to that 2018, open it up down the field type of offense. You know, now that Travis Kelce, because trying to replace Travis Kelce, it's fool's gold, in my opinion. It's like trying to replace Lawrence Taylor or Derek Thomas or Patrick Mahomes at some point in time. They're going to try to replace Patrick Mahomes. Ain't going to happen. It's not. You'll have a quarterback. You'll have a tight end. But nobody's going to be that good. You have to adjust as an organization.
I don't think people are – okay, I don't think using the word replacing is necessarily like trying to duplicate Travis Kelce. But if you want somebody that's going to be a vital part of your offense, which it seems the tight end position has been for the entire run that Mahomes has been here and almost all of Alex Smith's run, I'm not saying that you're going to replace Travis Kelce as a talent. But if you need somebody that is that style of tight end because that's the way your offense ticks, then you have to go find somebody with that skill set. 20 years ago, nobody thought anybody was ever going to replace Tony Gonzalez. Here came Travis Kelce.
So but how do we know we don't have that guy in Wiley and Noah Gray?
I don't know with Wiley because I haven't seen him play because of injury. Noah Gray, he's been good when he's needed his role. But saying that Noah Gray should be your full-time starter is the same argument to say, well, Freddie Fremien should be your full-time in your roster full-time. Yeah, his last seven games are good, but what would Freddie Fremien average out to in a full season? Is that somebody that you can trust to take over? That because no one's going to replace Salvador Perez. But eventually this team will have to have somebody come in. Maybe that's Blake Mitchell. Maybe that's Freddie Fremien for a year. Not saying that he's going to be Salvador Perez's talent, but you need somebody that can be a stick in your lineup that can also be a dependent catcher, which is similar to what makes this team tick. So again, I think you need to find somebody that has a skill set that you know of. I don't know if Noah Gray can play 16 games and average, 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm not asking him to do that, but that's what this offense has been because of what Travis Kelce is. But again, I'm also not saying that he has to have 99 receptions, 1,300 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you need to be a vital option in this offense. You have receivers. You have Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Juju. You have those guys on your roster this year. They are young. They are fast. Again, I would take Luther Burden if he was there as well.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying against that. But again, not replacing a talent, but replacing a position of key on your offense is something that I think the Chiefs are looking to do. And I think that's something that is one of those things because now we officially know this is probably most likely Travis Kelce's last year.
Hopefully.
Are you ready to go full speed ahead with Noah Gray?
Where are you on the tight end, Mac?
I'm with you, Bob. I think replacing Travis Kelce is a lost cause. And I think
replacing his talent set, but his position.
Noah Gray, I think, is better than probably at least 12
tight ends.
There's
a reason they paid that guy money last year.
I believe so.
That's the sneaky move that you look at the time and you go, all right, but there's a reason why they did that. I think we're going to see a lot of Noah Gray this year. I think we're going to start to see kind of that passing of the torch and then people realizing why they paid Noah Gray. I kind of feel that way. And again, it goes back to what are your expectations? I know people have the expectation that whoever takes over for Travis Kelce is going to have to put up Travis Kelce-like numbers.
I was about to say that. The last 4 years, there have been 3 tight ends in 2 of those years that have put up 1,000 yards. 3. In 1 year, 2 of those years. And the last 2 of those years were also 1 tight end put up 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards is insane for a tight end.
Nuts.
We've gotten accustomed to that.
Right.
That's not regular.
That's
700
not
yards is amazing for a tight end.
Like HDH wasn't normal out of the bullpen. Bobby Witt's July wasn't normal. You see these abnormal things happen in sports. Like, well, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be.
No.
But it's abnormal for that reason. So I just personally, and if Brett Veach drafts a tight end, then Brett Veach drafts a tight end, we'll, do whatever we have to do. But that's one of those positions that I look at. I'm like, there's probably some other needs you can go after right about now.
Noah Gray's career average right now for a 17-game season is 26 receptions for 273 yards and 2 touchdowns.
But he hasn't been needed to do anything.
That means nothing.
Okay, I'm just saying. In his last 2 years were his first 2 years of 10 games where he started each year. 2 years ago, 28 receptions. Last year, 40. Last year, he had 437 yards, 5 touchdowns. I believe he had 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
That's a good tight end year.
It's a good tight end for
it really
backup.
Is, yeah. That's a nice year.
When your starter's getting over 100 targets and 90 receptions.
Yeah, that's good. A good year. Like, I don't think you can judge Noah Gray's stats about what he's going to do when he's definitely...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like when you look at like the backup tight end, you've got Travis, a couple wide receivers. Like, what option is he? 4 or 5 every single time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys are Noah Gray guy. Go buy his jersey.
Hey, so far, Wiley is Kelsey. You know, Kelsey had a season-ending injury his rookie year. Wiley's right there with him. He's on track.
There were no expectations for Travis Kelsey. I mean, Andy Reid was this close to cutting Travis Kelsey. So, I mean...
No doubt.